Hello and welcome to the Tank Slappers podcast, Autosport and the Motorsport Network's podcast for all things two-wheeled. I am your host, Lewis Duncan, and joining me as ever is Oriol Puigdemont. And we start on a very sad note because this week the MotoGP paddock lost one of its biggest and brightest personalities in Fausto Grassini, double 125cc world champion, and of course a veteran team boss. Yuri, the outpouring of emotion from the paddock on the last couple of days is, I think, has said everything anyone would ever need to know about Fausto Grassini, about how regarded he was, what he did for the sport. What are your memories of the Italian?
Yeah, it's a very, very sad news. I think everybody agrees that he did so well, so much well for the sport, for the motor racing, and it's a huge loss for the paddock. He was always, he was one of the, let's say, personalities that it was always present, despite being private team. He was considered one of the biggest ever in terms of structure, in terms of how well the team was set. And yeah, I think he's going to be really, really missed in the paddock. I remember him for for many years. I remember when Sete Gibernau was his rider in a factory Honda, fighting against Valentino, 2004. So, of course, the title with Kato, the title, it's gonna be a really tough to have a new championship without this, let's say, very, very, I would say, with this personality. The loss of this personality.
Yeah, absolutely. My the first season I watched MotoGP fully was 2011, and the very first thing that I remember about that championship was the Grassini Honda with Marco Simoncelli on it. And, you know, the Grassini team was responsible for bringing on so many great talents. Like you mentioned there, Sete Gibernau, Daijiro Kato, you know, so many great guys. And even in later days, likes of Jorge Martin, you know, Grassini just, he had an eye for talent.
Yeah. And he was very honest. He was very honest. And he always looked for the good of their people. Which, that's why we've had all these messages from many, many, many people who has worked with him over the past of the years. So I think that's why when you see those reactions, it means that it was a very, very, very special guy.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you say, it will be difficult to go into this season without Grassini. This is Thursday, Wednesday, sorry, we're recording this podcast. There was a minute silence held both at Valencia, a test where the Grassini team were there, and also at the Barcelona circuit where a lot of MotoGP riders were testing road bikes, which again, to have this, you know, these are tests, and yet this is the kind of display they are showing for Fausto Grassini, which again speaks volumes. There were lovely pictures to see on social media today.
He will be very, very, very missed because he's one of those, as I said, he's one of those personalities that always bring the good part of the story, funny stories. He always had the chance, the ability to change your mood, to give you his best side. So, yeah, it's a huge, huge, huge loss.
Yeah, absolutely. And what is certain is the MotoGP paddock will never forget Fausto Grassini, and will never forget all the great memories he gave everyone from his racing career and his career as a team manager. And yeah, a big, big loss for the championship. I want to talk about something else now, because team launches have been ongoing this past week. I think we're getting to a point where everyone's a little bit... I think we've had enough of the team launches. But Honda's was actually probably the most interesting, because we got to speak to Marc Márquez for the first time in a year. 10 months, 11 months, whenever it was. And he was... It was a very, very interesting half an hour we had with him, because he was very, very open and very honest about the situation, about his coming back too early and his expectations for coming back. So what did you make of the whole thing? Because we know he's not going to be in the Qatar test. He's not ruled out the Qatar race, but that looks quite difficult.
Yeah, but as you say, as you mentioned, I mean, it's been the first time that we have been able to speak with him. And to me, it shows that why we've been able to talk with him, just because he have good news. So as we mentioned before, we got that update about his physical condition, about his recovery, and as I told you, there are really good news on that update. So I think that's why they decided to do an open press conference, or a Zoom interview or whatever, with all the media, being able to ask him whatever we want. So it's because he's starting to feel confident enough to come back. I'm not gonna say when, because I don't know. I don't think he doesn't even know. But yeah, I think he's gonna. He's starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel. So yeah, I don't know if it's gonna be in a month, in the first race, the second race, or the third race. But I think his comeback is getting closer. So, and that's why probably he has changed the mood and has given us the opportunity to ask him questions, because otherwise it would have been much difficult to answer those questions.
Yeah, absolutely. He spoke about he's going to go for a check in March, around about the time of the test. The doctors will then say if the bone healing is going well, and then he'll decide the next phase. It's clear that he's learned his lessons from the past, because he spoke about, well, if the doctors give me the go-ahead, I'm still not able to ride a bike. I need to then get myself into a position to ride the bike. So he's, and I think to everyone that spoke to him, he's definitely approaching it and with the right mentality.
Yeah. I think we have seen it. I mean, he has changed the mood. He already had his mood changed during the shooting, with the HRC shooting, which we know it was in Manresa, with a photographer, a friend of us. So, and everybody can feel it, that he has changed the mood. He will probably, I'm not gonna say that he will increase the intensity, but of the recovery, because I think he's been there all the time. But yeah, I think that the positive vibes, now we can feel them. We can feel them. And talking with the team members, I think you can realize, you can start to feel that they are getting more confident, they are getting more happy, they are, you know, the mood has changed.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Mark spoke about his recovery time last year, and he mentioned that he was even beginning to miss us, the journalists. So, you know, definitely when he's, you know, when you have that, then someone's having a very bad patch. But it is good that Mark is recovering, because there was never a guarantee, really. I mean, last year when his comeback kept getting delayed and delayed and delayed, and the recovery wasn't going as planned, you know, there was a point where there was real concern that perhaps
There was another indicator that, in my opinion, tells us that market is starting to come back, which is, you remember when he spoke about who has to blame to for the injury, blah, 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 blah. At the beginning, I mean, all his entourage, I mean, his agent, even Honda, and directly point out to the doctors, 100%. It was not the media, it was anybody. They blame the doctors. I mean, they made a mistake, everybody can make a mistake, but of course the final decision came from the rider. But, and even Mark in that DAZN interview pointed out, okay, it was my decision, but the doctors should have been able to stop me. So in a way, he was pointing out the doctors. This week, he has changed. He has said that nothing to do with the doctors. It was, I mean, not that nothing to do with the doctors, but yeah, there have been a lot of talks, a lot of writing about this stuff. But the reality is that the doctor, Xavier Mir, is still my doctor. If tomorrow I get injured, the first person I will call would be probably him to get the surgery, blah, 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 blah. This is 100% Marc Márquez. So that's why I think that he's really coming back.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. He said there that he was asked, who do you blame for losing the championship? And he said, look, it was all of our fault. It was a team. It was, you know, we win as a team, we lose as a team. That's very much always been the Marquez ways. It's, he always talks about we. Whenever he does anything, it's we. But he made an interesting point, I thought, was when, speaking about coming back from injury, he was asked, you know, oh, you know, would you do it again? Would you take the same risk? And he was like, well, yes, if risks have to be taken, I will take risks. But, you know, you can look at it from one side. If he'd come back and everything was fine, he said, look, people would have said, ah, it's a miracle. He's amazing. He's not human. But if it goes wrong, and it can go wrong, then everyone asks, ah, he was stupid. So that's an interesting one point as well, I thought you made.
In the end, I think life, I'm not going to go in really deep into philosophy yeah, because it's too early for me. But I would say that life, in the end, is a learning process for everybody and even for the riders. And even the injuries, even the races, even everything is a learning process for the riders. So he will probably learn. He has definitely learned a lot during this process. But what, in my opinion, will be really interesting to see is how this period, how this absence, how this, you know, 7-8 months without being able to jump on the bike will affect him. I mean, on paper, we all believe that it doesn't gonna affect him that much. But I'm not sure. I'm not sure because one really, really, really big thing like this one, I don't think he really understands how can he be affected by this absence, this lack of competition, this, yeah, all the pain, all the doubts, all the lack of confidence, because it's 100% normal. I mean, not to Mark, to anybody. So I'm really looking forward to see how he fights against these doubts, this lack of confidence. And there's another thing. Alberto Puig, during the launch, said that I'm 100% sure that Mark will find a way to keep being Mark Marquez, but it has to be him. We can help him. Of course, the team will help him 100%, as always did. But he has to find a way to be back at his full potential. But it has to be him. Doesn't matter what we think, it doesn't matter what we do.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a fantastic point. I mean, you're right about the doubts, because...
But don't get me wrong. It's not him. I mean, anybody.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I think it's 100% understandable.
Yeah, you're right, because when Mark finally announces a comeback date, all of a sudden, the media, the fans, everyone we think will be writing things and thinking, you know, what can Marquez do, this, that, and the next thing. They will put a lot of pressure on his shoulders, and there will be a lot of expectation for him to come back and just be the old Mark Marquez, which, like you point out, isn't, you know, that's not really fair to expect after so long off the bike. I mean, it's not quite the same, but when I go for the winter break, you know, and then it comes to the first race of the season, for that whole week up to it, I get really nervous and think, ah, can I still do my job well? So think about that.
I mean, that's when I say that the life is a learning process for everybody. It's not only for riders. I mean, for everybody.
Yeah.
So that's why.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
you're totally correct. So you imagine a normal person have those anxieties about a normal job versus Marc Marquez having that about riding a factory Honda in MotoGP. The pressure there will be immense, and you're right, how he deals with that will be an interesting thing to watch.
And if I, yeah, okay, I'm going to get into philosophy. yeah, it's 7:20, yeah, okay. So, and if we come back to the sentence, I've learned a lot. If you have learned a lot, not Mark, anybody who says that, I've learned a lot, it means that on the future, you will probably take different decisions than on the past. Otherwise, what's the point of learning? If you learn, it's because you have learned from something that you would do different in the future. So I'm not saying that he has to change the approach. No. But I'm just saying that probably he will adjust some things after all this experience. That's all I'm trying to say. And probably he will adjust that and will be a more competitive rider even than in the past. Because if he has to adjust these kind of things, he will probably have the potential and the ability to adjust and to don't take the crazy risks.
Mm-hmm.
If you know what I mean.
Yeah, and that right there is the mark of a truly great rider. Someone that can do that, because there's a lot of riders that will do things and then they'll not learn the lesson. They'll just go and do the same thing again and it doesn't work.
And another thing that he told us, it's that definitely if this happens to me again, hopefully not, but if this happens to me again, I will ask for different medical opinions. That's 100%. So that's all a learning process. And so, yeah, I think that I'm really interested and I'm really looking forward to see how he will deal with all those inputs when he jumps on the bike again.
And I suppose one thing that might kind of influence that as well is how the start of the season goes for Honda, because obviously Paul Espargaro's got to learn the bike and he's not got a lot of time to do it. And then Taka and Alex kind of have to show strong form straight away. Honda has to be a good kind of team straight away, a good bike straight away, and show good results straight away, so that when Marquez does come back, there's not this sort of, you know, added expectation of going, you know, everything's, you know, shit right now, but it's okay, Mark's back. Because again, that wouldn't be great for him either to go into that situation.
Yeah, but everybody in Honda is pushing for that. I mean, they are doing their best and they will do their best trying to be as good as a team as they can. But not for Mark, for everybody. I mean, even for Paul, for Taka, for Alex, for everybody. So, but at the moment, I think that their problem was so big with the absence of Mark. So, yeah, I think he will be, really, really, really happy, amazed of jumping to a bike with only one wheel at the moment. I mean, you know what I mean? And he would find a way to be fast.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure I speak for everyone. I can't wait to see Marc Marquez back on a bike, because 2020 was a great year, but it was crap without Marquez, because Marquez, it doesn't matter. I don't understand these people that go, ah, Mark's winning, it's boring. It's not boring. Look at the way he rides the bike. If no, that's I boring, think, then I mean, I think, I don't know.
I think the championship needs the benchmark back. And we were all enjoying. We did enjoy very much last season, but because of the competitiveness of the of the riders, because the ups and downs, but we need the benchmark of the last 6 years trying to adjust the right level of the competition, because we can say there are a lot of riders being able to win races, but if we don't have the benchmark, we don't really know if that level is you know, the maximum that we can reach. So if Mark is there and Mark is in the mix, winning races sometimes, being fifth, being on the podium, but not winning 10 races, 12 races, we will know that the championship level is at his best, as its best.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very much a case of, it's both a benefit. It's a benefit for the riders not to have Mark there because there's more chances, but it's also a benefit to have him there because if he's there, then they're going to raise the game,
yeah,
raise their game 100%. Even more.
And that's what
unlock themselves.
Exactly. That's what Paul said.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's what Paul said last year many times. I mean, we don't forget that. Yeah, we are fast, but we're still missing Mark. I mean, Mark is not here, so until he's not back, we cannot be 100% sure of our potential.
But the good news is he'll be back, we hope, soon. Hopefully, sooner than later, because like we say, we have missed him. I think on that note, Yuri, we'll end there. Thank you very much for your company. I really appreciate you getting out of bed at an ungodly hour to talk bikes.
No, here is normal. Now we are getting ready. We have to go to the daycare, so everything good.
Ah, perfect. Well, thank you very much for your time, and thank you to the listeners. We hope you enjoyed what you heard. We'll be back next week because, you know, there's more team launches to talk about, and of course a preview to testing that starts next weekend, so that'll be good. If you like what you heard, you can go and listen to all of our other podcasts on Google and Podcasts and Spotify and Apple Podcasts and I don't know, wherever you get podcasts these days. If you like what you can read everything on Autosport and Motorsport.com from the launches. I spoke to Alex Marquez the other week, so there's stuff from that on the website. So lots to keep you busy. But until then, it's a very warm goodbye, and please keep looking after yourselves.